Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. So we've been in this sermon series called Courage Under Fire, where we've been taking a look at stories from Scripture for times when we maybe need an example to follow or maybe not to follow when it comes to having a little bit more courage for the times in our lives where we need more courage. We've shared the stories of Esther and Gideon and Samuel. And the story that came to mind right away for my week to preach in this series, the story that came to mind right away is a heavy one. And it's a story that requires a lot of courage. And this woman's story doesn't fit neatly into good example or bad example when it comes to courage. Instead, it's both. It's messy and it's heartbreaking and it's all too human. And before we jump into today's story, I want to remind all of us that the stories that we have in Scripture come from a particular place and a particular context. And because of that, you might not be able to find yourself in the stories of Scripture. You might not be able to relate, but that's okay, because that's not the only way and certainly not the best way to read Scripture. When we come to Scripture, what we're looking for is to see what God is doing in the story so that we can better understand God's character and have a better relationship, a deeper relationship with God. That's what we're trying to do when we come to these stories that we have in Scripture. And sometimes God uses Scripture to open our eyes, to help us better understand people whose lives are so different than our own. And this new way of seeing others, well, it can lead us into deeper relationship with each other and really deeper service to our neighbors. So that's my prayer for us today, is that God would open our eyes and our hearts so that we could love God and our neighbor more today than we did yesterday. The messy story from the Bible I want to share with you comes from Genesis 16. And it tells the story of a young woman named Hagar. You're probably familiar with Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai, as they're known in this early part of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Abram and Sarai were older. They were married, and they had not been able to have a child. Even late into their older years, they had never been able to conceive. But God had plans for them. Not just to have a child, but to be the people where God would establish God's covenant with humanity. This covenant, this promise that changes everything, this covenant that God would be our God and we would be God's people, it all starts with Abram and Sarai and their descendants. So God made this promise to Abram and Sarai that they would have a child, even though Sarai was old to be having a child, and that God would establish this covenant with Abram. So they had this encounter with God, and they received this news, this blessing, and trusted God. And then they waited and waited and waited. And Sarai got impatient. She was tired of waiting on God's plan and decided to take matters into her own hand and decided to come up with a different way to build their family. So Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, 'You see, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. So go to my slave. It may be that I shall obtain children by her.' And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So this was a kind of surrogacy practice that was done at the time. Because of the critical need for children, particularly sons, in order for families to carry on their family line, the use of concubines who were serving in the household to use them to serve as surrogates for barren wives was not scandalous. It was common practice. It was functional. So it was commonplace in families where they had enough wealth to be able to have a female slave of childbearing years to be able to fulfill this need for the family. So even though this was commonplace at the time, it's important to remember that Hagar had no say in this arrangement. She was powerless to the will of Abram and Sarai and the ways that they wanted to use her and her body to grow their family. Sarai's plan works, and Hagar becomes pregnant, and Hagar isn't happy about it at all. Because she didn't want to be pregnant, not like this. And Sarai isn't happy at all either, because the thing that she wanted most was happening now for someone else right in front of her own eyes. And it was all kind of her plan. So Sarah's mad at everybody. She's mad at Abram for listening to her. She's mad at herself for this plan. And most of all, she is mad at Hagar for being pregnant. And so she's awful to her and treats her terribly. So Hagar runs away. Given the circumstances of being a young pregnant woman from a foreign land with no support system, running away into the wilderness took a lot of courage. But it was also reckless. The wilderness was dangerous and almost certainly a death sentence for Hagar. But it took courage for Hagar to take her freedom into her own hands and face whatever was waiting for her in that wilderness place. I've never had to experience anything close to what Hagar is going through. And probably you haven't either, but just because Hagar's story doesn't sound like our story doesn't mean Hagar's story doesn't sound like somebody's story. Feminist biblical scholar Phyllis Tribble says that Hagar becomes many things to many people as a symbol of the oppressed. She's the faithful maid exploited. She's the surrogate mother, the resident alien, the other woman, the runaway youth, the pregnant young woman alone, the expelled wife, the divorced mother with child, and on and on and on. Hagar's story reminds me of the stories of girls and women who didn't get to choose and had pregnancy forced upon them. It reminds me of the stories of women who were tricked and trafficked, the stories of children and women who live in the same homes as their abusers, women who walked away from everything that they knew for the sake of their freedom. It's a kind of courage I have never had to know. We work with some incredible mission partners who serve folks just like this at the margins, who might find themselves in situations like Hagar did. Right now, we're participating in this Peace and Global Witness offering. It's one of four special offerings that we participate in the Presbyterian Church USA. And this one specifically goes to addressing issues of peace and violence around the world. 25% of the money raised by this congregation will get to stay in our local community. And our mission committee has decided that WINGS, a local agency for domestic abuse survivors and prevention, will receive that 25% of the money raised. So we have partners like WINGS who are serving women just like Hagar at the margins. Thanks to you all, three Afghani women who left their homeland and everything that they knew to offer their children a future with more freedom, are going to receive every essential newborn item they could possibly need, thanks to the baby care packs that you filled for Exodus World Service. And then our quarterly gifts from our mission budget went out this last week, and The Harbor, who an agency here in our local community that provides a safe landing place, an alternative home for at-risk teens, people who need a different environment to meet their full potential than the one that they had back at home. The Harbor is going to be receiving one of those mission grants from our mission committee. Having relationships with agencies like these helps us to stay closer to the places where God is meeting people. God is meeting people at the margins. God is meeting people in their heartbreak. God is meeting people in the mess of it all. And that's where God meets Hagar. Genesis 16, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, slave of Sarai, where did you come from? And where are you going?'" God finds Hagar in the wilderness, a woman with nowhere to go, a slave, a foreigner in a foreign land, utterly hopeless. God sees her. God finds her. God calls her by name. This matters. We should always pay attention in Scripture when God calls people by their name. It should remind us every time just how intimately God knows us already, and just how intimately God wants a relationship with us. God calls Hagar by her name. This matters specifically for Hagar because Sarai and Abram, they never called her by her name. She was always my slave or your slave. She was always property to be traded and not a human with dignity to be preserved. When God calls her by name, God brings some of her dignity back to her. And then God asks her two questions that might be helpful for us in situations where we are looking for a little more courage. God asks her, "Where did you come from?" And God asks her, "Where are you going?" Maybe you're someone who runs away, literally or metaphorically, when you find yourself overwhelmed. Maybe you're somebody who jumps in before you're ready, jumps into a new situation before you have enough information. Maybe you're somebody who gets caught in that thought of anxiety and you can't break free of that cycle. Whatever it is for you, maybe slowing down and asking these questions about where did you come from? How did you get here? And where are you going? How do you want to get out of this? Maybe these are questions that might help you when you are trying to make your next courageous step. What happens next in the story might surprise you. God sends her back. She answers God's question. She says, "I am running away from my mistress Sarai." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord said to her, "I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted." God sends her back. But God sends her back with a promise. God sending Hagar back is tough. I bet you feel a little tension. It is not how I wanted this story to go either. Remember, I said this is messy. God sends Hagar back. God sending Hagar back doesn't mean that God endorses slavery in its past forms or modern forms of slavery. God sending Hagar back doesn't mean that God wants pregnancy forced upon all people. God sending Hagar back doesn't mean that God wants women to have to return to their abusers. We need to separate this modern context where we're reading our concern and our context into this story to separate it from the story of Scripture and the context it comes from. Hagar was a young, black, unwed, pregnant, foreign, runaway slave. The society at that time had no value for her or her life. And the wilderness where she had fled would surely have taken her life. But God finds her in this place of hopelessness, and offers her her dignity and hope, and ultimately saves her from herself by sending her back. And from this encounter with God, Hagar is allowed a privilege that no one else in Scripture is allowed. She gets to name God. She calls God El Roi, meaning God of seeing. She says, "You are El Roi. Have I really seen God and remained alive after seeing him?" After this experience in the wilderness with God, Hagar knows more about who she is and who God is. She knows that God has seen her, really seen her, and she trusts that God will provide for her. And so again, we see in Hagar courage on display as she trusts the Lord again and goes back to Sarai and Abram and their house. And she has a son and she names him Ishmael. The good news is that we worship a God that finds people at the margins. Jesus spent every day on earth spending time with people that would make you and me uncomfortable, proving every single day that there is no place too far or too forgotten for the love of God. There is no place too far for you from God, for God's love to find you and redeem you and set you free. There are no easy answers, no pretty bows for this message when it comes to Hagar's story. Sometimes the courageous thing that we need is to sit with the courageous stories of others so that we can really see people at the margins and can better understand the character of God through their stories. Through their stories of struggle and heartbreak and pain. And I think Hagar's story does that for us. And I pray that each of us would have the eyes to see and the ears to hear all the ways that God is on the side of the oppressed and the marginalized. And I pray that God's Spirit leads us into action so that we can experience just how big and radical and life-changing God's love really is. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for Hagar. We give you thanks for her story and all of the people who find way too much similarity with what she's gone through. God, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we can see you better and know you better, that we can trust the promises that you have for us, just like Hagar did. And we lift up to you our mission partners who continue to serve folks at the margins. We think especially of Wings and the Harbor and Exodus World Service. God, we pray you would continue to open our hearts so that we have more compassion and more curiosity and more courage to encounter your love and your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.